Message, M. 011, The Sabbath of God. Given by Cecil J. DuSile, 6th of November, 1970.
The church is divided into seven parts. It was seven churches. Oh my goodness, how is church? How do we spell churches now? Churches, seven churches, and those were represented by the seven pieces of furniture. Good. Now, the second part was the human body made in the image of God. Made in the image of God and being made in the likeness of God. Set me free, brother. Being made in the likeness of God. We are being made in the likeness of God for one great reason, and the reason is that we were created in the likeness of God, but we were only made in the image. Created in God's mind, being in God from before the foundation of the world, being a part of God's plan and God's existence, being sons of God because we were made of God, created of God, in God. It was his intention, his desire, his will that at this time he would bring forth a people to be his sons. So we were in God from before the creation. Amen. So then he began to make things now. And he said to Jesus, you make everything that is to be made. And we find that in John chapter 17 and verse 6, we are told that all things, John chapter 1 tells us, verse 1 to 10, tells us that all things that were made by Jesus. Amen. Now, 1 John chapter 1 tells us the same thing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, tells us the same thing coming down to verse 6, I believe. And so we have those many, many scriptures testifying that Jesus is the maker. He is the builder. Now, we have John chapter 17 and verse 6 telling us that there was nothing... John chapter 17, verse 6 tells us that all things were in God and belonging to God, and he gave these things to Jesus, or to the Christ. So we find that we were belonging to God. We were God's property. Jesus said, Father, they were yours, and you gave them to me.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus made them, and yet they were the Father's. So that means the Father, the idea, and the creation was the Father's. But he gave them to Jesus. We go further on in John 17, and we find further down there, Jesus begins to pray to the Father again. And he said, Father, the glory that you and I had from before the foundation of the world, give it to them. What was he saying anyhow? He was saying that glory which we had seen for the final product of man, we saw a glory. We agreed together to make something glorious. We made an image that wasn't glorious, but that is Babylon has been given to us so strongly that some of you dare not resist Christmas. You take your little ones and you bribe them. Bribe them with Halloween. Hold the feast of the witches that used to be done religiously in the ancient world. You bribe them, you call another one, another demon worship St. Valentine's Day. And they put in, oh God, when I looked at the Halloween, and the little children, they said they knew that it was not of God, but they said they love the sweets. They love the sweets. And good God, who put that sweet in Halloween? Don't you see? To get them to worship the witches, all you do is give them candy. Ah! Glory to God. It grieves my soul to see people so ignorant. Yeah. To get them to worship Nimrod's birthday. That was being worshipped long before Jesus came on the scene. You call it a Christmas. And you say, ho, ho, ho. And all the Christmas hymns are a mockery to God. Yeah. All the Christmas hymns are mockery to God. You watch them. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And it makes it look so sweet and so innocent. Good God, where you ever hear people worship Jesus with feasting and drinking? Drinking is the feast of Bacchus on the 24th day of December. The night when every man, every drinking man must be drunk. It's the feast of Bacchus. The birthday of Nimrod. He was born on the 24th day of December. They said, oh, we are a Christian country. And they gave us... No, I'm being caught away in this thing. It's not the message. They gave us days of the week. They say they're going to name every day. And they say Sunday. Okay, we name it after the sun god. We say Monday. We name it after the moon god. Okay, we say Tuesday, we name it after another god. Wednesday, we name it after another god. Thursday, name after Tar. Friday, name after another god. Saturday. And we just take them. And have them twisting up and down. From you, St. Valentine's Day, right back to your St. John's Eve, you're this, that, the other. Every feast, every living feast is a barbarian feast that you give a different name and use it. Oh, Easter, that's the worst one. They couldn't find a thing for Easter. They just couldn't find anything for Easter. They call it the same Easter that the ancient world used to call it. And that one's the most glaring one, because it's right in your Bible. The word Easter is in your Bible. Yeah. Check up in your concordance. Yeah. And if Easter is in your Bible, how it got there if it was for Christ? And Christ wasn't yet dead when it was put there. The Easter, the goddess Easter, the same abomination that they call Venus, the goddess of love. And when they say love, they mean filthy carnality, the most diabolical out of all the human being that ever lived was Semiramis. She was the most beautiful and she was the most horrible human being. You go read your history what Semiramis did. And they call her Venus, the goddess of love. Because she loved everything from animals right back to men. And they call it love. And that's how the word love got twisted. Love was a good word at one time. But now love means carnality. When a man comes up and he looks you from head to foot and he says, I love you, he doesn't mean love at all. Because love is God. And if people love, that they wouldn't do you the things they do you in the divorce courts. They don't know anything named love. They don't know love. Love never existed. A sinner man can't love. It is impossible for him to love. You can't love one person and hate another. And this is what has been giving us trouble in the past. praise be to God, when we come to the message of Babylon, sometime in the week, next week, we will get a few hours to go through that. But let me come back to this. The sixth day, the Sabbath of God, seventh day, and we're going to rest, brethren. Man will rest forever and ever. No more man will arise to put his desires upon other men. No more man will arise to rule other men to his own personal, carnal benefit. But God will arise in man. And God will take charge of his universe. And when we bring forth children, they will be God. They won't be our children, they will be God's children.
Hallelujah.
In all eternity,
hallelujah,
we will people those stars you see up there with God, the sons of God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
No more transgression. No more devil. We'll put him down once and for all.
Hallelujah.
And he'll be in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever, because there will be no more place in God's realm for him. Some people wonder, what is that? Oh God, he's going to light fire on the devil. And oh God, couldn't do such a thing to... God isn't doing one thing to the devil. The devil wants food. He wants to feed on you. God offered him food. He didn't want that. He wanted to be his own boss. He wanted to exalt his throne above God. He wanted to take away the position of Christ. He wanted you as his eternal habitation. God said, no. That is the issue. That's the issue. He wanted man as his eternal habitation, just as Jesus Christ is going to inhabit you eternally. The devil wanted you to inhabit you eternally and to take you his own way. God foresaw the whole thing, that Satan, Lucifer, was diabolic in his intentions, and God stopped him. That's what the choir is about. If somebody didn't tell you that, is it? And because of that, he came and took man anyhow. Say, I'm going to take them. God just left him alone, allowed him to do it. He said, the same man there is going to kick you out, and he's going to fight you and beat you. That, said the devil, no. That wretched little piece of flesh, I said, I'll hold them eternally. So God sent his son as a man. He said, okay, you come, I'll kill you. I'll get you too, he said. That's the parable Jesus told you about the man that sent down his son, and he said, they said, I'll kill him too. Right. So they sent him down, and God set a trap, because Satan was a killer, because he was a murderer from the beginning, because he had nothing in his mind but murder. God set a trap and set somebody for him to murder, the wrong person. And when he murdered Jesus, something was going to come out of Jesus. God planted his life in Jesus, the same principle that he had in the Garden of Eden, planted life in a natural tree, and he said, okay, see somebody here to kill. There come the Lamb of God coming down. He had the life of the Almighty God working up and down through his veins. And if he had let that life out on earth, it's going to change the whole realm of God. It's going to change our whole realm. And that's what happened. So he was there walking around with this life in him, and Satan trying his best with him, until Satan got so savage and so brutal, he said, I'm going to kill him. And he killed him. When he killed him, the very earth couldn't stand it. The Bible tells me that when the life, the radiation of God, amen, the magnificence of God's power was let out on earth, he said, the rocks rent. Amen. And the temple rocked, and the veil of the temple rent in twain. God foresaw that. Satan didn't see it. It was too much life entering our realm. Let me explain this to you again. When God came down on Mount Sinai, God covered himself as much as he could in a cloud so that his power would not do any harm. And the mountain began to quake and tremble because the rocks couldn't stand the power that had come down on them. And the rocks began to burn, blaze fire. Now, any of you who know anything about science, what would it take to make a rock begin to blaze? That's what happened. The rock began to blaze, and God had to lift off the mountain. God said, if an animal touched that mountain, kill him, for he would be full of radiation. It couldn't be eaten. That animal must be killed and thrown away. The man Moses went up there, and the radiation was so powerful on him that his skin began to show light. Children of Israel, remember, he was only with God, but he was so bright that they begged him to cover his face. So, I'm explaining that to explain this. That man is to be filled with the glory of God. And it will be such radiance and such power that it's difficult, very, very difficult for me to explain to you what the radiance and the power of God is going to be within you. But you see, you can't get it suddenly. It's too great a power. So we have to grow into it. Amen. Amen. And the man child has to grow within our souls. Praise by God. Hallelujah. And he has got to take charge of our innermost beings. Then, through the outer court, the flashes of light will begin to come forth upon the world. Amen. God has given us many, many examples beside Jesus. For Moses was an example. Elijah was an example. Elisha was an example. David was an example. Many, many, many examples. One man named Samson was an example. Natural flesh man. And he came and darts hit him and they just fall off him. And he was just tearing through like a terrible bulldozer, rooting up and killed 1,000 men with his bare hands. Just a piece of bone he had in his hand, slapping them down. You don't know what those men saw. They saw sights that they would never live after they saw it. The man was flashing fire. And they couldn't stop him. Nothing could stop him. Amen. And it was a natural, ordinary, carnal, physical man. You don't know what the body is that you have is made of. I saw a man hypnotize my cousin, as I tell you several times, and he put her heel on one chair and her head on the other, and he suggested to her that she was a piece of board, and she was as stiff as a plank, and he stood up on her and gave his lecture. And that is a simple trick, just the power of the man. You don't know what you are. You've got more power, dear, than you can ever imagine, and God in this hour is bringing forth the power within the man, if you will only believe. Oh yes, Jesus. So on the seventh day, we are coming into the king priest order, Melchizedek order, wherein we shall rule and we shall heal the world and all those that need deliverance. Then the third thing here we had was the body of Christ. Amen. Let us turn around to see what Paul said about this body. In the 14th chapter, is it 1 Corinthians 14? Let's see. The whole thing here, you know, from chapter 12 speaks of the body. Suppose we start at 12 and go on to From verse 11, he said, but all these, that's the gifts we are talking about, but all these work it, that one and the selfsame Spirit divide into every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. In other words, the prophet cannot say to the ministry, the rest of the ministry, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And these members of the body, which we think is to be less honorable, unto these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Let me say this here, brethren, that there are many of us going into various places, various churches, various organizations. Some of us say we could stay at home, for instance, and we are contributing to the separation of the body of Christ. There is no gift, no calling that you can receive from God that is not for the body. It is not yours.
Amen.
Some of us say, my gift and my this, and if God doesn't tell me to this, I don't. God isn't going to tell you. You being a part of the body, God isn't going to tell you, well, you've got to go here or you've got to go there. But you will recognize other parts of the body. And you will realize immediately that you are part. It's not whether you think you are part or not. If you are an eye and you say you're not an eye, that doesn't make you not an eye. But you might well be an eye well covered up and a blindfold put over you. And you are no use to the body of Christ. Eventually you go blind. For God has no use for you. The body of Christ is not an organization, but an organism.
Amen.
This body of Christ is set in the world for a purpose, for a job to be done. Amen. And this body of Christ needs food. Amen. And it has got to come together to get food at a common dining room. Let's go over that. Amen. The body of Christ needs food. Just as we are gathered here this morning, we are gathered here because one day God called me and he said, I'm going to give you 1,000 pounds of food for the household. The food that God has given me for the household, I never understood what 1,000 meant. But the one means God. And the three zeros mean Zorro. Three times repeated means the fullness of Zorro or the fullness of the word. And so God has given me the fullness of the word for this hour. And every man who God sends out in this hour, he's giving him 1,000 pounds of food.
Praise the Lord.
For the household. Amen. So it's not a one-man affair. It's a thing that God is now giving out the number 1,000, and the 1,000 mean the fullness of the Word of God. And this fullness is being given to the men, not for themselves. I had no flowing where I was. I had no flowing. I was stagnating. I had no stored up word, no nothing. My Bible wasn't marked. Amen. But the moment the word begins to flow from me, then God begins to reproduce words to give you because of your need. You have a need, God supplies the need, and He uses human agencies. So the ministry should wait on God until they be polarized, absolutely polarized of God to tackle the job in our time. Some people believe that when hands laid on them, that's it. I got it made. You got nothing until you wait on it and suffer it. Wait on God for it. Wait on God for it, and God will break the bread to you to break to the people. And if prophesying, wait on prophecy. People want to jump up in a crowd and to prophesy, but they don't want to wait on God for prophecy. And as you listen to prophecy in the church, you know who is waiting on God, from who is just feeling, well, I can go hip shot and just rush into a meeting, just finish talking about my neighbor, and rush into a meeting and prophesy. The same mouth that just brought destruction out there has come now to bring life to church people of God. They will just not get any life. That's all. They will just not get any life. And this is what's happening in the church, and this thing has got to stop right away. Because God will reject you. God will reject you. I've seen God reject better men than some of us sitting here. Any of us here. Men who I look at as boy, they were better men than I. God reject them. And God won't hesitate to finish you, to finish your ministry. Mark closed on your door. Amen. If you become an unfruitful servant. Because we have got to wait on God so that we might bring forth to the body. The body is all. I am nothing. The body of Christ here is the value. If I come and begin to spout healing, let's just say healing, one area of God's ministry, and healing is the last, the lowest, healing of the body is the lowest realm of activity. He says it's the children's bread. And he dismisses it like that. It's the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. It's an integral part of our ministry, just one part. And I just press in alone on healing of the body. The healing of the soul, I don't touch it. What God wants from you, God wants you to come up into perfection and to bring forth the will of God. The will of God is that man should come from man to God. Be in God and like Jesus Christ. You know, one sister came to me yesterday afternoon, and it really blessed me. She said, pray for me, I want to be like Jesus. Amen. That's what I want. I want to be like Jesus, and that's what we should want. That's our ambition. Amen. Amen. So, we find that the body of Christ, therefore, is not an organization. And if you belong to the body of Christ, you are just part of a thing that is mysteriously working in the earth at this time. Amen. Now, we must go places to get food. And I appreciate those who couldn't get food, spiritual food, some places. And they go to some places, wherever you could get a little food. Sometimes not enough, but you still was kept alive. But the moment God begins to move you into an area where there is food, you know what He's doing to you? He's moving you in to feed others. Not only to receive food, but to give. For the radiation of life that is in here, I could feel it. I can feel how much life is in here. Where there's a soft spot and where there is the radiation of life. And it pulls me. and it attracts, and you give forth light.
This is the end of message, M. 011. The Sabbath of God.